Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Hockey.
Grace, after we recorded yesterday's episode, I had a lovely chat with the phenomenal Angie Schwarer, who is down here in Florida playing Dorothy Brock in 42nd Street at the Multi-Jupiter Theater, which, as I talked to her about, like, Dorothy Brock notoriously can't dance. Like, that's part of the character. And that's a little weird to have Angie Schwarer in a part that can't dance, although she did promise that she does a little bit of a soft shoe in the show and then goes full out Angie Schwarer dancing in the curtain call. So you can hear that in the Patreon feed coming up in the next day or so before it hits the regular feed. So if you want to hear that, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. But after our interview, we just kind of talked a little bit about like being an actor and things you have to learn in the audition. So it's kind of after the interview is over. So I'm going to just use that as a Patreon exclusive. So there will be extra Angie Schwarer bonus content in the Patreon feed. So I think that everybody is really going to enjoy that conversation. She was a ton of fun. All right, Grace, on Sunday night, we had the 96th Annual Academy Awards, and there are always a ton of theater people that are nominated, and there were two theater people of varying degrees who won Oscars on Saturday night. The first was in the first acting category that was announced very early in the evening, and that was Davine Joy Randolph, who won for her role in The Holdovers. She was up against a number of other theater people in that category, including Danielle Brooks, who was nominated for her performance in The Color Purple. Of course, Randolph made her Broadway debut as Oda Mae Brown in the musical version of Ghost, and she has been working fairly regularly on Only Murders in the Building and done a ton of other stuff. She was on that TV show, what was that show on HBO last year, Grace, with The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp?
The Idol.
I wanted to say The Icon, but that didn't sound right. So she was in that as well. So just a really fantastic performance. The other theater Broadway person that won was Broadway alum Emma Stone, although she says that she doesn't think that she can ever come back to Broadway again. She won for her role in Poor Things, which was a little bit of a surprise. That was really the big shocker of the evening, Grace, that she won over Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. Those two had kind of been going back and forth in the best actress categories throughout all of the precursor awards, but it felt like Gladstone had kind of to develop some momentum coming into the Oscars. So that was the one where I got it wrong. I really was just assuming that Lily was going to win, but Emma Stone gave a great speech. She looked genuinely moved. And if she wasn't genuinely moved, she's an even better actress than I thought she was. But what did you think of those two wins specifically, since those are the two Broadway alums that took home trophies last night?
It was funny because in my Oscar pool, I had Emma Stone to win and no one else did. I think that she is the whole film. So she had a lot more shot than some other people. I think a lot of people were shocked that Lily did not take this home, but I think that she was more of an incredible supporting actress. I genuinely believe she was in the wrong category. It was Leo and,
Bob De Niro.
Yeah. It was everyone else's film and her. I mean, she was stunning, but I think that is kind of what tipped it over a little bit, that Emma's performance was really transcendent and also was the entire film. So it's kind of hard. It's similar to like a Jodie Comer situation for Prima Facie, where it's like, okay, but she's the entire thing. And if her performance is incredible, like, what do you do with that? So that was my takeaway from it. And I think that she genuinely was surprised. The thing bothered me about this was the fact that one of her best friends in the whole world is Jennifer Lawrence, and she did not get to introduce, you know how they had like each presenter presenting a bunch of different supporting actresses? Why wouldn't they get, or was that too on the nose? Like, if they had given it to Jennifer Lawrence to introduce and talk about her bestie Emma Stone, because like her, Emma, and Taylor Swift are all best friends. She references Taylor Swift in her speech. She says, "You're bigger than the whole sky," one of Taylor's lyrics, talking about her 3-year-old daughter. So I was just kind of like, oh, interesting. Like, I feel like she could have given her best, which is why, if you notice in the acceptance, when they're she's kind of like holding each woman's hands when she's going up on stage, Emma, and she grabs everyone's hands, and then she's trying to grab her Oscar. they pass it to Jennifer so that Jennifer gets to physically hand it to
how
her.
Cute.
Yeah, it's really sweet. So go back and watch that because, of course, I'm a nerd and I like to look for any type of stupid nuance. And that was definitely lovely.
I think one of the best touches of this Oscars is that for all four of the acting categories, they had previous winners from that category come out and there was one per each nominee and they said something about them. And not in every case did it seem like they were like close personal friends, but some of them were. The Sam Rockwell, Robert Downey Jr. exchange was very fun for us MCU fans dating back to Iron Man 2. But I think that was a really nice touch. It made those awards feel special. Not that they don't already, but it did give a sense of prestige to it, especially when you can add a little bit more star power into the proceedings. So I really like that. And I hope that they continue that in the future. Now, Grace, there was something that I think it was not musical theater, but it was musical theater. And that, of course, is the performance of the best song nominee, I'm Just Ken. Where Ryan Gosling, people forget, he got his start alongside the likes of Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, all, as well as like, I think, Kerry Russell and some other folks as well. Jenna Lee Green, I think, was in there too. But he was a Mickey Mouse clubber. So like singing and dancing is not new to him. And obviously he did La La Land as well. But like definitely showing some of those triple threat roots. Although I don't know that he's necessarily the singer that any of those other people are, but like that was pure musical theater camp, Grace.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that Ryan was one of the people invited to join NSYNC. He said that he was starting a super group with Justin Timberlake, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
And people were doing it and he opted out of that. And now he's an Oscar darling. So it's really cool. My mom could not shut up about it. Like it really was fantastic. And you see the homage to Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Ryan, if you'd like to make a remake of Moulin Rouge, I'm sure we would have it. Got a redhead for you. Emma Stone will be available to play Satine. I think that it was really, really special. It brought the house down. And there's a reason they did it last. I think they bookended with Barbie. They started with What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish with her brother Phineas. I have actually no words because it's like one of my favorite songs at this point. It's so beautiful. And so having that be the starting point and then ending with I'm Just Ken was really, really exciting for the musical performances. Also, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, give it up for Becky G.
That was a great performance. I have to say, like, after the Phineas and Billy song, like, it looked like half the audience was in tears. So I don't know if I just didn't get it or I wasn't paying super close attention. I was, like, folding laundry at the same time. But, like, I looked up and, like, every person they cut to was, like, bawling or like having this out of body experience. So definitely people were very moved. There was another theater connection, Grace, that I have to talk about. And that is that Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande presented, I think, two awards, the Song and Score Oscars. And man, they were not subtle about why they were there. They were there to promote Wicked. They were quoting Wicked in their speeches. They were wearing pink and green respectively. I have a feeling, Grace, that we are about to get an onslaught of press appearances, marketing stuff. Like, this is going to be going on now for, 8 months? And I don't think we're going to have a chance to let up between now and then. I think we're going to see Wicked everywhere until Thanksgiving.
The puns were killing me. I was like, girls, we know. And for those who also like famously like don't care about theater, those film audiences were just kind of like, what the hell are they doing? Why are they in those outfits? So it was kind of funny to be like, hey guys, don't forget, like, we know and think that it is the greatest, the biggest show. But also there are people that might not know what this is. So like, relax.
Yeah.
It was just funny to me. It was a lot. But I mean, I'm excited for them. I was watching the E! Carpet before and Cynthia Erivo was talking. And then all of a sudden, Danielle Brooks like ran up next to her. And it was just so funny just to see them just kind of like holding each other, being like, we made it, you know, from The Color Purple to there.
Right.
So it was really, really sweet to see. And I'm glad that they're, you know, still good friends. But I agree. I think that we're just going to have nonstop. I'm just curious about the media spin behind it. Like, if we're never going to get the level of Barbie spin, but I'm curious if there's going to be like product and gifting and then like popcorn buckets of a black hat or some bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, am I going to be dressing up as Bach, like at a premiere? I don't know.
I mean, let's be honest. You'll probably be dressing up as Bach no matter what.
Like in the silver probably, paint. Oops, spoiler.
Spoiler. That's right. In my conversation with Angie Schwarer, she spoiled 42nd Street, which is a 40-year-old musical and like a 70-year-old movie. So lots of spoilers here for things. If you don't know where any of the Oscar winners are available to watch, I know somebody who on Sunday night put together an article with links on where you can stream every single Academy Award winner. There is one or two that you can't stream as of now, including Grace, one that I know means a lot to you. Godzilla Minus One is still not available to stream anywhere, either on demand or through PVOD. So if you want to check that out, you can head over to the show notes. I have a link there. All right, Grace, real quick, I want to run through some of the reviews for the new off-Broadway musical Dead Outlaw, which officially opened on Sunday night. This is from Audible Theater over at the Minetta Lane Theater. It reunites many members of the team from the band's Visit, including David Yazbek, along with Eric Della Penna. They co-wrote the music and lyrics. The book was by Itamar Moses. Yazbek conceived of it, and it was directed by David Cromer. The cast includes Jeb Brown, Eddie Cooper, Andrew Durand, Dashiell Eaves, Julia Nettle, Ken Marks, Trent Saunders, and our favorite Tom Sesma. The show will be recorded and released on Audible at some time in the future, but if you can get a ticket, sounds pretty good, because the reviews were almost uniformly positive. Over at the New York Times, Laura Collins Hughes made the show a critic's pick, saying in part, quote, "It would be easy to exploit Elmer's story." And remember, this is a show about an actual Old West outlaw whose mummified corpse was used as an attraction in a traveling roadshow in the 70s. So she said that it would be easy to exploit Elmer's story to play it entirely for laughs. Dead Outlaw has lots of those, as well as a healthy sense of absurdity. But if it forgot Elmer's humanity, and it never does, it would lose its soul. Sarah Holdren of Vulture said, quote, "What Moses, Yazbek, and Della Penna and Cromer are doing is both unearthing stories that have been, for one reason or another, buried in dust and pondering the cultural forces that shaped these strange tales of striving. Everything has a politics, and Dead Outlaw doesn't have to spell out its skepticism of the American mythos. Underneath the bizarre facts of Elmer McCurdy's story lie our national drive to turn everything into a product. The brutal division of people into either successes or suckers, the glamorizing of violence and individualism, the moral bankruptness, aimlessness, hopelessness, aggression, and gullibility behind the cowboy facade." So this one is one that I think a lot of people were really excited about. Anytime the team behind a show as big as the band's Visit reunites with another musical, I think people are interested. I think it's interesting that it ends up at Audible Theater and is going to be available to stream the audio of in the near future. But it does make me interested with all of these really positive reviews, whether or not there is some sort of life beyond this in New York City. But either way, very excited about these reviews for them.
I think that's awesome. Like the fact that it's getting that much, especially a critic's pick, but in this day and age, is really, really exciting. So congratulations to all of them.
All right, Grace, another hearty set of congratulations that we have to send out goes to the women that were included on the annual Women to Watch on Broadway list that comes out of the Broadway Women's Fund. This highlights women in the industry who excel in their careers in regional theaters, off-Broadway, as Broadway associates, and in Broadway offices. There was, I think, 30 different names, so I'm not going to run through all of them, but some people that you might know, depending on how close you are to the theater industry: Nicole Capitasto, Nico Case, Danielle DiMatteo, Amanda Harper, Lisa Loomer, Leonanako Winkler, who's a former guest of mine here on Broadway Radio, A.K. Payne, Zoe Sarnak, Sanaz Tusi, Celine Song, and others. But congratulations to all of them, and we will have that full link in the show notes.
I want to shout out Danielle DiMatteo. She started She NYC. She is the reason that I even got to bring my play.
That's
to
why
New York
I know
City.
The name. Okay. Yeah.
Danielle is not only a philanthropist, I would give so much for this woman. I just want to say, like, she really is a champion of not only the arts, but also marginalized writers, not just women, gender nonconforming writers as well, directors, technicians. she is actually doing it. I know we talk a lot about people that are like, oh, congrats to them. Like, she's one of the few people I can literally look at and say, there is everything, this woman is doing it right. And she's so kind. And I'm so grateful to even know her. So I'm glad that she's getting this recognition.
Very cool. I love that.
Also, I want to shout out Celine Song is on this list. She's mm-hmm. not only one to watch, she was just nominated for an Oscar. Like, she created Past Lives, one of the best movies to come out of last year. Like, she's not only a Korean-Canadian director, playwright, screenwriter, etc., but like, what she has created with Past Lives is such a beautiful film. So I appreciate that she's on our Broadway, like, oh, here are women to watch, but like, she's out there. Like, she's doing it. You might have seen her at the Oscars Sunday. So I think it's really, really cool. But also, like, she's attributed to one of the best films of the year. And I just think that that's amazing.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, Grace, I want to give everybody a heads up that today, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, on Tuesday, March 12th, the Company of Water for Elephants will be performing on Good Morning America. On Good Morning America, we don't exactly know what time during the broadcast or what number or cast members will be involved, but I do have a feeling that we will see both Izzy McCalla and Grant Gustin and probably Paul Alexander Nolan as well. But keep an eye out for that. And this, you know, we're going to start seeing these a lot here, Grace. It is getting to the point where these shows are getting up and running and they're going to want to maximize all of their opportunities to be on TV, on morning shows, daytime shows, late night shows. So we're going to see a lot of these over the next couple months. And I love all of it because I think it is one of the most fun things to look forward to for those of us that don't live in New York City. All right. Speaking of fun videos to look out for, I have two. One of them is from Playbill, and it is with the phenomenal Bebe Neuwirth. And she is doing a kind of a walk down memory lane of her career, kind of talking about different roles she played, different shows she's been in. So check that one out. And then we talked about her earlier. The day before Ariana Grande presented at the Oscars, she was also the musical guest on The Sound of Music. And she participated in a sketch where they parodied Moulin Rouge. And so she did a bunch of songs, including a song from The Sound of Music, a Taylor Swift song, lots of Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande references today. She played Satine, Bowen Yang played her Christian. There are other folks in there as well. There's also a little Defying Gravity riff in there too. So we will have that link in the show notes if you want to check that out. But a very good skit. And I think, Grace, I don't remember if we've talked about this. I talked about this with somebody else, but like, we think of her as this great singer, this great pop star. And even though we know she's got a Broadway background, and to be quite honest with you, she was really underwhelming in Hairspray Live. But like, every time I scroll through Instagram, and if I happen to see a clip from whatever Disney Channel show she was on, or was it Disney or Nickelodeon? Either way, whatever show she was on.
It was Nickelodeon. She was a Nick kid. Zendaya was a Disney kid. They're very different genres, Matt. You have to know this.
I apologize. But whatever show she was on with like Victoria Justice or something, the clips are like, she is legitimately delivering comedic gold performances. So like, this is very much up her alley. And we've seen her host Saturday Night Live before, and she's always very funny. But like, I think that does give me a little bit more of a reminder that like, oh, she does have the comic chops to be Glinda.
Yeah, she had a whole spinoff series after Victorious called Sam and Cat because everyone loved her minor character Cat so much because she was so funny. So she got a show with Sam from iCarly. So yeah,
she is that Jeanette McCurdy? Is that who that was?
Yeah, so she's known very much so for wanting to start that pop career really early on Nickelodeon, but also was doing comedy. And I think that that shows with the fact that like she wanted to play the funny sidekick in Hairspray. She wanted to play because she very much could have been an Amber Von Tessel. She looks up to Kristen Chenoweth so much, and that was Dove Cameron playing the daughter, you know. So I think it makes sense. And she is quite funny. She's controversial right now, and as always, but funny.
Yeah. Yep. That's very true. Very true. All right, everybody. That is all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. You can follow me pretty much anywhere, but mostly on Instagram at BWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.